Good evening, everyone out there in listening land on BBS Radio and BBSRadio.com. This is Marty Ford, and you are about ready. That's the name of the show, You About Ready. And I am Marty Ford, coming to you live from the beautiful basement of downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, with a lot of stuff to put out there, as we have done in the past. Some might be repetitive. Some we might have spoken, said before, which is redundancy. There you go. That's what you get here. Tidbits of useless information. For example, here's another tidbit that I came up with most recently on a trip. And it's not so useless. It might be considered useful. When you're going through the airport and you have your boarding pass and you have to go through the security gates and all that stuff, make sure your boarding pass and your photo ID have the same name. Because it happened to people I know. Their son was named Robert, but when the reservation was made on the over the internet and the boarding pass was printed out, they used his name Bobby, which is everybody calls him Bobby. But his legal, legit name on the birth certificate is Robert. And I was told that it took four TSA agents several minutes to figure out that, oh, yeah, it's really Bobby and not Robert. So if you have a Jacqueline and you call her Jackie, make sure you use Jacqueline or whichever name is on the legal identification of the photo ID, passport, et cetera, et cetera. So a tidbit of not-so-useless information, maybe it can save you some time, aggravation, and frustration, and worst of all, a delay. Because all you want to do is get through there and put your shoes back on, your belt up, so your pants don't fall down, hanging below your waist like is seen on the streets in many cases is in today's world. But that, too, will change as well. Now, last week, once again, I did it, and I'm guilty of it, and I apologize to the listening audience out there, whoever and wherever you are. I had told you a brain buster. You know, we like to do a little brain buster activity to get things flowing up there in the cranium and get your gray matter, give it a little bit of color. And last week's brain buster was that a farmer had 17 sheep, and all but 9 died. And the question is, how many sheep did the farmer have left? So you have all your variations of answers. People start doing the addition and subtraction in their head. Some even do the multiplication. Division's kind of hard because it's hard to have a remainder of a sheep or any other thing unless you're having dinner. But the real answer for a farmer had 17 sheep, all but 9 died, the answer is he still has 9 sheep because all but 9 died. So he has 9 in his possession, and hopefully they can be fruitful and multiply, as we are told in our youth. Today's brain buster is kind of simple, but we're familiar with it. And some people are going to get it right away. Others might have to think, and that's okay, because thinking is good. Remember here at You About Ready on BBSRadio.com with me, your host, Marty Ford, there are certain things we want to accomplish. We want to empower you. And part of being empowered is to be able to think, sometimes think a little critically. Because how many times in your life has someone asked you, hey, man, why'd you do that? I wasn't thinking. Yeah, you weren't thinking. So if we can enhance our thinking skills just by using these little simple brain busters or brain teasers, whatever you want to call them, that's a step forward. And we want to keep moving that way. And we want to have an enlightened life and also one of critical thought in many things. Critical thinking helps us. So tonight we're going to talk about the year. How many months have 28 days in them? How many months have 28 days in them? And that's all I say about that. As I said, we want to empower people to accomplish more than they ever thought possible. Empowerment starts with kids. When you empower your kids and you send them to kindergarten or first grade, wherever, however they begin school or preschool, and you send them there with knowledge, information, which turns to wisdom later in life. But if you send them there with the basics, and what are the basics? Numbers, letters, shapes, colors. Some ABCs and some 1, 2, 3s. They're ahead of the game. You can go to any first grade or kindergarten class, and when you can tell within 10 minutes which kid has had some parent, guardian, caregiver, whoever, whatever you want to call them these days, because there's so many variables, I don't know what to do. And someone like that, whether it's an older sibling, a nanny, a babysitter, maybe a parent who's not busy in their own lives can find time with their kids to read them books. And teach them basic things. So when they go to kindergarten, they know what blue is. They know what a ball is. They know what a big blue ball is. And right away, you're teaching them other skills that they're going to learn later in school. Alliteration. We're all the B's. Some people call it consonants. I'm not that sophisticated. But this familiar B sound, that's how kids learn. They learn from familiarity and repetition. So read your kids' books over and over. Do it, do it, do it, and they will ask for more. One more time, Daddy, please. Oh, man, I've read Chicka Chicka Boom Boom 100 times. Read it one more time, and I'll go to sleep. Oh, yeah, because I'll read it one more time, and I think I'll be asleep. But do it. Teach them their numbers, how to count. Put on little pennies or peanuts on the table. Put out 10. Take away 4. See how many they have. So when they're asked later in life that a farmer has 17 sheep, all but 9 died, they know that the farmer still has 9. Empower your kids. Give them what they need, education, a tool that they can use throughout their life. Because what you're doing when you're not doing that, you're holding your kid back. You're holding your kid back because now the kid's in school, kindergarten, first, second grade, and the other kids aren't up to, they don't have the same information that your kid has. So the teacher spends time finding the happy medium, trying to pull the lower kids up, not the lower kids, but the kids who don't have that stuff, trying to catch them up to the kids who already have it. The kids who already have it are eventually going to get bored. And when you're bored, you're going down. If you're a kindergartner or a 90-year-old person in recovery, a 100-year-old person, when you're bored, you're going down. You got to fill your time. You got to be prepared. You have to have knowledge. You have to have knowledge. It turns into information that later in life turns on to wisdom. It's all the same stuff. But a kid that doesn't know 1 and 1 is 2 in first or second grade is hurting himself, the teacher, and his classmates. So give the teachers a break. Give them something to work with. Don't go to the barbershop and try to get a haircut and the guy doesn't have any scissors. What's he going to use? Right? Piece of wood that's sharpened? Don't go to your dentist and have him pull your teeth with a pair of pliers. Give them the tools. So if we give our kids the tools and empower them, things like what happened up, I don't know where it was, but this football player, I think maybe in New York or New England somewhere, and I didn't follow the news because I catch headlines and I get out because I can't stand the rude, crude, and socially unacceptable way that it's presented to us, bombarded to us, and somewhat brainwashing us with this filling of 24 hours in a day of so-called news. But the guy made headlines because a bunch of kids, I don't know the number, the details I don't have. All I know is they trashed, wrecked, and destroyed his house, his home, right? There's a difference between a house and a home, and I hope you know that. A house is a place where you're maybe transient. You don't feel welcome or comfortable. Can't put your feet up on the table. Can't go in to the refrigerator to grab a soda or a leftover piece of chicken or whatever you have. But a home, you can. Welcome to our home. A home is a place with love. A house is a place that, as I said before, it's somewhat transient, empty, and cold. There's a lot out there. Many of these big, giant houses are movie sets. They look good on the outside. There's nothing on the inside. And you never know what goes on behind closed doors. Don't think because they have all the stuff in the world that they're materialistically thriving that they don't have any problems else. I just read where Vice President Biden's I think his daughter is having severe issues with her involvement in things that she shouldn't be involved with, that are deteriorating in a deteriorating condition of her health, well-being, and family life as well. So they're not immune to it just because they have money. There was an old movie a long time ago that said, just because they're rich, they think they know. I'm paraphrasing, I'm wrong. But, you know, just because people have a lot of money doesn't make them in the know 100%, and they have as many problems as we do. So this guy who had his house trashed by high school kids, I believe, maybe some college kids, and they destroyed a lot of things, and he could have just made life miserable for a lot of people. And while they're doing it, supposedly, the kids who were there were doing all kinds of inappropriate, negative, and probably illegal things, probably illegal just being there, trespassing. They put pictures of themselves doing stuff on the social media. Well, from what I understand, the owner of the home did similar things. He said, look what they did. Here's their pictures and all this other kind of stuff. Now, from what I understand, he's being sued by the parents of some of these kids because all that media attention might ruin their chances to get into a good college. Well, hello, colleges. If you want these kids, I'm going to send my kids to other kids. Not that they're bad kids, but what they did was wrong, and they earned consequences. They earned the consequences for their action. And enabling parents are suing this guy for doing what he did, and all he's trying to do is to make it a learning experience for them. Make them learn. Make them even maybe fix the place up. You know, judges now put people and put a signboard on them. They walk the streets. I stole a cup of coffee from McDonald's or something like that. And it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But I tell you what, it might work as a deterrent. People might think twice. Wow, I don't want to walk around like that. My family will see me. My kids will see me. Holy mackerel. Gets back to school. You saw your dad out there carrying a sign. Oh, he did inappropriate things, and that's his punishment. Well, if you take away the word punishment or chastise or chastisement, and we make learning experience out of it, what's wrong with that? Maybe these kids will learn from it, be a bit remorseful, help clean and fix the place up, and make a friend in someone who had a big impact on their life, could have influenced it negatively, brought charges, go to court, go to trial, whatever it is. I don't know. It's costly, a waste of time. And this guy is trying to do the right thing, and he's being sued by people who enable their kids. Oh, my kid, oh, my goodness, would never do that. Oh, my goodness, no, no, no. Yeah, well, they did, and now they got to pay the price, and you're part of it, right? You're the same parents who went around putting stickers on their car saying, my child is an honor roll student at elementary school. Can you believe that? And I'll bet it's the same parents who have their kids enrolled in SAT prep classes in 7th grade, 6th grade, whatever it is. What kind of life does this kid have? Right? Yeah, they know their ABCs and 1, 2, 3s and the number, shapes, and colors. But now they are even badgered and harassed more. And they don't have the ability to play. There was this, something in the paper about a girl who took the SATs. And she scored, I'm going to round the numbers off. So let's say she scored 1,400 the first time. And the second time she took it, she bumped it up to maybe 1,500. So her family sent her to a SAT prep course, as many do, us included. And the kid bumped the score up by 300 or 400 points. And she was contacted by the SAT organization, whoever they are. I've never met anybody who works for the SAT. I wouldn't know where their building is located. Sort of like the NCAA and other quasi-governmental agencies, regulatory agencies that have this power over us, and they send us mails or emails or phone messages or texts saying, and they accuse a girl of cheating. You could not have scored that way. You could not. Our statistics, our data, our historical information say there is no way for you, a student of that caliber, to increase your score by 300 or 400 points in such a short period of time. I don't know. So now, when you tell somebody the truth and they don't believe you, where do you go? Right? The kid got on. I didn't cheat. I don't know. Maybe she did. I don't know. It's not my business. I'm hoping that she didn't. Did not cheat. I would think she's an upstanding. I think she's an honor roll student at her school and wants to go to a name brand college, which is great, and have a future and a career. Now she has to go prove to this phantom ghostly organization out there who only appears when there's a problem to say, hey, you cheated, and now you got to prove to me that you didn't. What's going on? What's wrong with our society? Why is Penn State punished these kids that they have on their teams today and the school for something that happened 10, 12, 15 years ago or more? Why are they being punished for that today? Who is this NCAA? Where are they? Who are they accountable to? Who do they answer to? I'll tell you what, I don't know, because they're invisible. Why should a kid be suspended or released from his team, lose his scholarship, and have nothing but trouble to try to prove to himself, I didn't do anything wrong. And all I did was maybe eat a pizza, a slice of pizza, with some guy who supports the team or anybody. What the heck is that about? Besides, the colleges and the universities are making a lot of money off these kids. Where the hell is slave labor and child labor laws and all this stuff? I know they're not children, they're men and women. But the reality, what are we doing? Schools are making millions upon millions upon millions of dollars on the backs of these kids, and they punish them for having an ice cream cone or getting a tank of gas for their car and selling their stuff so they can help pay for food and rent and all this stuff, because many of the kids come from disadvantaged environments economically, and all they're trying to do is help their family. Now, it goes away when they get drafted, and maybe they make pro teams and make big contracts and big money. But you know what? Pay the kids. You wouldn't have anything to do, NCAA, if you paid the kids a good earning for a percentage or whatever you want to call it of money so that they can live, survive, exist, and help support their families. Because that's what they're doing. They're selling their abilities so they can eventually help their families. And I think most of them are doing that. I would, if I had the skill, ability, talent, motivation, drive, and ambition, which at one time I did, but I was lacking other things. That's all I'd want to do is to help my family and help people around my family who have helped me in the past, right? Because what goes around comes around. And never forget where you come from. So why are they there and who are they accountable to and why can't they be targeted, investigated, and exposed, right? Exposed. I remember there was a Girl Scout troop who one of two moms, den mothers, I think they're called. I don't know. They wanted to take a trip with their troop of girls somewhere, and they contacted the home office of the Girl Scouts. They said, listen, we could really use $500 for 20 girls and us and the chaperones and transportation and lodging and supplies and all that stuff. And they were told, no, can't do it. We don't have that, no. But we're sitting here in our offices on Park Avenue, going to Broadway shows, having fine dinners with linen on the table, no ketchup bottles, like you do with your kids, and we can't give you $500. Where does that money go? It turns you off, but you can't say no to a little kid selling Girl Scout cookies. So you have to buy some. You want to support them and hope that the people behind them are supporting them as well, if not more than you, the Girl Scout cookie customer. So where are these people? How do they exist? And why do we let them get away with it? Why can't they be out there like regular folks saying, hey, we took in X amount of dollars, we paid our bills, and we have enough for you too, and to enjoy the things you want to do and learn and grow so that you can go to school prepared. So we can empower you, because empowerment doesn't stop in the home, and it gets enhanced, hopefully, at the school, and it gets even further enhanced by outside activities of interest, because not everybody is interested in a history lesson, a computer lesson, a beaker in a science class, a sonnet, or whatever it is. But kids find their way outside of school to pursue their interests and goals, dreams, and ambitions, hopefully with encouragement from the family, the parents, the people responsible for them, and not pushing and badgering and forcing kids into things that they really don't want to do. They'd rather not. And taking them away from the most important thing that kids need to do, as we always talk about here, because to become empowered is to be able to play. And even as you get older, seniors, when knowledge, information goes from knowledge to wisdom, you're a senior citizen, you're up there, you qualify for all that, discounts at the movie and the early bird specials and all this other stuff. Even you need to have time for yourself to be a kid, right? To walk in the rain. I'm not saying you're going to ride a bike or slide down a hill in snow or on a tube or something, but to be a kid, to laugh. There's not enough laughter in the world. This is Marty Ford. The name of the show is You About Ready on bbsradio.com. We're live Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. This is the place where if you listen, you will learn and you will laugh. And what better combination is that? Listen, learn, laugh. You can call in the station and they'll put you through to me. And I'm going to get the number here in a minute. I imagine everybody recognizes my East Coast accent, which is fine, since I grew up on the East Coast. The number at bbsradio.com is 888-627-6008. Let's hear what you think. We'll put you on for a few minutes, give you some time. It's in a one-hour show, so we want to manage our time properly here, but we'll put you on there. If you have something to say, comment, want to have your voice heard, cool. Whether it's the NCAA, the SAT stuff, standardized tests, which people are getting away from in the world of education, that's okay. You want to comment on the tidbit, any of the brain busters, empowerment? What do you think about empowerment? You have to empower yourself and stop doing something that I'm going to read you a little something about right here as soon as I find it, right? This is a story. It's called A Little Story. And it was written by that well-known author called Anonymous. Not me. It was Anonymous. And here's how it goes. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but it was, but nobody realized that everybody would not do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. How many times have you found that yourself in that situation where anybody could put the chairs away, right? We all can participate. If everybody puts one chair away at a meeting or something, then it's done in 2 minutes. If you leave it up to one person to do it, it might take a half an hour. Everybody puts their share in a purpose, a common goal, a common ground. But many times it doesn't get done. Oh, I thought you were going to do it. Well, he told me they were going to do it. No. And what do we do? Because a lot of times it turns into a very negative situation. And what happens then? The blame game. Remember that song from the 60s? The name game? Well, this is the blame game. Hey, it's your fault, right? I didn't do anything. It's your fault. No one's taking accountability, responsibility for their actions and behaviors. Just like those kids up at that guy, that former football player's house. The family's saying, yeah, they... No, it wasn't my kid, but it was. So, oh, it was him. My kid was there but didn't do anything. Where do you see that coming out, right? Where do the lawyers get a hold of it? Nobody will even have been there, and it never happened, right? Very creative people, but they're not helping kids. They're enabling them, and we don't want to do that. We want to empower them, give them a life lesson, have them learn from it, and get on with their life. Right? But we don't. We point fingers. We blame. All you have to do to get, you can get proof of that all day. Just watch the so-called news. Why it's called news, I don't know. I was stuck in an elevator today with about 10 people, four or five adults, half a dozen kids ranging from, I don't know, maybe 8 years old down to 2 years old. You know what one of the kids says? The kid said, Mommy, are we going to be on the news? And you know what? He wasn't wrong. Because if you look at the news, what's presented to us daily, 24 hours a day, all day, every day, ad nauseum or whatever you want to call it, we are bombarded with stuff that is not news. Being stuck in an elevator is not news. Everybody got out. We were done in 15 minutes. The phone call was made. The buttons were pushed. And somehow, magically, someone, through the computer, got us going again. It was great. Could we have been stuck in there a long time? Yes. We weren't on the tarmac for 9 hours like the arrogant leader of an airline company was about 10 years ago, who subsequently lost his job. He was probably asked to leave, and they came up with some fancy words to say he was moving on to bigger and better things. But we weren't stranded out there like that without any information. We had communication. Some people had phones, and we were out. But just the thought of the kid saying, are we going to be on news? Are we going to capture celebrity? Will I be able to tell my friends at school that we were on the news and stuff? That's ridiculous. Why should a kid think like that? You know what the kid should be thinking about? Going out and playing. Going out and playing and being a kid. That's what kids should do. You're going to hear it every week here because I'm going to be as vocal about it and stubborn about it. But you know what? It works. The simple things always work best. That's why people get along with me so well. They like the simple things in life. Nothing wrong with simple. Go out and play. Get away from the box. Any of the boxes. Rectangular, square, miniature, small, whatever size they are. Get away from the box, get away from the screen, and go out and play. Right? You'll have fun. You'll enjoy life. You'll grow. You'll become empowered. Right? We don't teach kids about being accountable and responsible. Have your kids take out the trash, clear the table, make their bed, put their shoes away. Simple things. Because if you're doing it for them, whatever age they are, after they start school, you're enabling them. You're not empowering them. And they'll expect it the rest of their life. They'll expect goodie bags. They'll expect to make the honor roll just for showing up at school. The elementary school, as I said before, all the way through whatever, high school, college, etc. Well, sometimes you hit the real world and it's a, whoa, it's a smack. Man, what happened here? I used to do the same things, and I got affirmed for it. I got compensation for it. I was validated for it. Now I'm just one of the crowd, right? Ask any salutatorian or valedictorian who goes to a school where everybody else is the valedictorian, and now they're just one of everybody else, right? So let's empower people to become, what, independent in actions and behaviors, responsible, accountable, getting away from the blame game, taking initiative, having pride and quality in themselves and what they do and how they perform, and stay away from things that enable, You know the old fishing story. If I take you fishing and I do all the work, you can eat today, but I'm not around tomorrow. How are you going to eat? Well, that stuff is real. That stuff is real. And you want to empower the kids to do what? To find their place in the world. To pursue their dreams and what they want to do and things that they enjoy and like. They'll do well. Right? If they're doing things that they like, they'll do well at it. If they're not, then so forth. And also, the medication. I forgot to talk about that. A kid has an issue or something, right away we give them medicine. Go to the middle schools. The kids are lined up at the nurses at 9 o'clock, giving out all kinds of medicine, prescribed medicine, drugs, whatever you want to call it. Right? What the heck is going on? Kid can't concentrate, can't sit still, doesn't participate, shuts down, isolates. Well, what's wrong? Talk to the kid. A pill ain't going to help him. Just like a pill or a powder or equipment or anything, it's not going to help you lose weight. Get outside and go for a walk. That's your form of play. Today I'm going to play. What are you going to do? I'm an adult, a grown-up. I'm overweight. I got to get rid of this stuff. And so I'm going to take a walk for half an hour every day. I'm going to eat right, maybe get to the gym too. Oh, it's raining today, so I'll get wet. Be bigger than that. Empowered people don't care what the weather is. They're out there doing something, active, physical, burning energy, feeling good about themselves. Whatever gets released in the brain that makes you feel good about yourself, you can get there without artificial help or stimulation. You can get there. Physical, strong, heavy-duty physical activity for each person, and defining it for themselves, will get there, and you'll feel good. I never forget, many years ago, my dad retired and wanted to learn how to play tennis, so we played in the street a little bit, and then we went to the playground. Eventually, we bought our own net, and we were climbing fences, right? And he was in his 50s and 60s, and I was not. I was in my 30s, I guess, and still in working or in college or something. I don't know. And we would come home from an hour and a half of playing, and he'd say, you know, I'm tired, but I feel good. I ache, but I'm not in pain. And that was all the stuff that he was making his body give him to make him feel good. And then we'd sit down, have a nice dinner, and then what would we do? Take a walk after dinner, right? To do a little bit more. So we want to empower people. We want to teach people responsibility, accountability, respect, and for who they are and what they do. We want people, and especially if we start when they're kids, we want them to cultivate your own garden. Thank you very much, Voltaire. We want them to cultivate their own garden. Plant the till the ground, prepare it, which is the hard work, laying the foundation, getting everything ready, plant the seeds, and take care of it. Nurture nature, and you will win. Nature wins every time, and you can't beat nature. You cannot beat nature. The animals, there was a tsunami several years ago or a few years ago, and the people are standing around. Why? Here comes a lot of water, man. And where were the animals? They were running to the high ground. Nature warned them. They have their own built-in systems. But we as people stand around, oh, I'll make it through this wave. And the wave is bigger than a tall building, a skyscraper, and takes you right out and everything in its path. But the animals were scurrying to the top, getting away from it, going distance, far. Not us. We don't have that ability built in nature. Sometimes you get a gut feeling. There's women's intuition, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't really react and respond to nature until after the fact. I mean, just go down to when the hurricane season or the big storms are coming, wherever they're at, just watch the Weather Channel and you'll find. And people are going, I'm staying here. And the house is filling up, floating away, and I'm still in there. I'm on the roof, but somebody will come and get me, I hope. I don't know. So we have to be empowered to make decisions for ourselves. And we make decisions for ourselves when we know how to think and critically think and assess a situation, whatever it is, and make a decision, make a wise choice. Might not be the right choice, might not be the best choice, but at least you made a choice. Make a decision, make a move, become empowered. I had this one section that I called Current Clichés with one or two past. And I want to repeat a few of them and add a few more that, personally, I'm sick and tired of hearing them. It's almost rote. We don't even have enough critical thought in our brain to come up with a different way of saying the same things, such as transparency, the next level, let me be honest with you, which I elaborated on the previous show. Remember, when someone says, Let me be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. That implies or infers, I don't know the difference, I'm not that smart, that what they've said previously is all a bunch of lies. So be careful when someone initiates conversation or starts something with, let me be honest with you. And here's a current one. I hear it all the time. I'm sick of it. I hope you are too. I fight not to use it. Even on the show here, I have trouble saying it. At the end of the day. And where this word came around, amazing. Everything is amazing, right? They built a house. It's amazing. Guy ate a 7-pound burrito. It's amazing. Everything is amazing, isn't it? And we just find some words. Come up with, write a whole new paragraph. There ain't enough synonyms in the world to replace amazing, so we use it. And to me, the other ones are, thank you very much, have a nice day. In going forward or moving forward, I'm sick of that. And here's a new one that's current, made by all the gamblers on there, all in. To me, these are more vicious, negative, and awful than George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on TV or in public. I'd rather say them. And I don't use those very often. I mean, I'm human, I do. I'm trying not to use them here on the show. But to me, when I'm hearing the next level and it's amazing at the end of the day, and all that, those are the curse words of today. Not that they're curse words, but we're cursed having to listen to people who all the day talk about them and use those words. Find something else. Be a little creative. Think. Think, and it doesn't take much. You're not studying for the SATs, which you'll get challenged if you get a high score. I think even with the SATs, if you get a perfect score, whatever it is these days, they change it. I think they still challenge you. And as they do with a success in, I'm watching a lot of football because I love football. I love my football. I played 2 years in high school, 2 years in the military. It was great. Loved the guys, right? Learned a lot about life. Learned a lot about race relations. Learned about a lot of things. And had fun playing ball after working 10 or 12 hours a day in the South, in Asia, in, where it's usually a lot warmer than it is in most parts of the country. Speaking of football, last week I mentioned the difference between men and women. Now I want to tell you between the difference between men, offensive and defensive linemen. I told you about the difference between men and women last week. I elaborated a little bit on the difference between a house and a home. The key ingredient there is love. The difference between an offensive and a defensive lineman is this. A defensive lineman can rip a computer into a million pieces all over the place scattered. But an offensive lineman can put it back together. And I say this with love and compassion for the game, for the people who play. I was a defensive lineman. And I can rip it into a million pieces. I'm not that angry. I'm not that kind of guy. We'll talk about anger in a minute. But if need be, I could do that. Putting it together? Got to call my wife. She's good. We bought furniture for our daughter for her apartment at the name brand big box stores, made not in America. And it comes with instructions. As soon as I look at the instruction, fold flap A into bottom C over to top D, and all that, I'm gone. That stuff will be laying on the floor for years. But my wife has the ability, right? We complement each other in many ways, and she can put that stuff together. She reads directions well. And so she could probably put the computer that I would bust into a million pieces, she could probably put it together because she's that cerebral. Offensive line are more cerebral. Not saying the defensive. Don't get insulted, defensive guys. I'm one of you. But I can't read a playbook. I don't, you know, they got so many playbook. I'll tell you, I've seen one and I thought it was as big as one of these government 10,000 page documents like Obamacare that I could never get through, like Harry Potter. My wife discovered like we had some reading issues in the family. Me personally, I can't, it would take me 3 days to read a page on Harry Potter, but my wife found books on tape. So on any long car trips, we had that on tape, and the kids kept up, and they knew everything. We didn't have to worry that they wouldn't be included in conversations about Harry Potter in school or in their social world, because inclusion is a very key component of self-esteem and of being empowered. You want to be part of the whole. You want to be with people. You don't want to be excluded. You want to be included in life, and you can become included by becoming empowered, by thinking critically, and by doing. By getting up, getting out, and getting going. By doing things, right? and having fun. So the difference between offensive and defensive linemen, right? We go over it again. The defensive people rip it apart. Offensive put it together. Simple explanation, just as the other ones were about men and women and offense and home and house. In the past, I mentioned play, kids in play. You want to find the best athlete in the family? Go to the youngest kid, regardless, boy or girl. The younger one, if family works the right way in the process, the younger kid is always playing with the older siblings. And the older siblings have friends. And they all get together and they bring the younger kid along because the parents say, take your brother or sister with you. So the younger kid, if they have any inclination, sees all this stuff going on around them and wants to be included, part of the whole, and so they step up their game. Oh, that's another one. Oh, I apologize. Step up. That's awful. That's a curse word. That's one of the current cliches. I just added it to the list and ask for forgiveness. Although, when you forgive some people, you're giving them permission to do it again. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry I did that. Well, okay, I forgive you. 10 minutes later, a day later, a week later, they do the same thing. Damn, I thought I forgave you, and you did it again. I guess I'm going to be careful with my forgiveness and how I dole it out. So anyway, the youngest kid in a family usually turns out to be the best athlete because they're playing up. This was not the case in the school I went to back home where I grew up. It was an experimental school. It went from 7th grade to 12th grade, and all the experts thought this would be a good thing. No, and they didn't divide people, kids by groups or age or class. And here's a 7th grader, you know, going around the halls with 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. Doesn't work, folks. Does not work. And that experiment lasted one school. Cost a lot of money. And literally, it was one of the contributing factors that ruined my high school situation. Other than the fact that I couldn't read too well. But anyway, we won't go into that. So inclusion and the younger kids playing up have a better time. And they learn and they grow and they prosper from being around older folks. And we as adults hope that we have that effect on the youth of America by having them around us. Maybe they can learn from some of our knowledge that we have, which they interpret as information, so that as they age, it turns into wisdom. It's all the same stuff anyway. So watch the young kids in your family or in your neighborhood or your town. They will turn out to be usually the better athletes. Or maybe even academics. I'm sure it might be the same thing. There are kids who are maybe eighth grade, ready for sixth grade, and they're so smart, they test so well, because some of us can't do the standardized tests. We don't show that great on that kind of a test, but we do well maybe in an interview or on the job with working, but we need to get an opportunity to foot in the door, and the standardized test is the method by which we use it, although they're not held accountable, the standardized test folks, so I don't know what they do. You know, put questions in there that don't really count, but you have to answer them anyway. We're doing a survey, and you're racking your brains out to try to get it correct, because we all want to be correct all the time. Unfortunately, that doesn't work, because I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. So I found out later in life. One of the things that's missing in my life tonight was pick up ball. I couldn't be with the guys tonight. I got a little bit of a foot ailment, which is really a big foot ailment. I'm trying to heal and get back. But I missed it. And I know they're finished playing now. They usually get done around 8, 8:30. And I miss it because I know who's there. I know what's going on. And I'm not included. I don't have the feeling of inclusion in me because I can't participate. And I could go, as other guys have gone, to hang out, watch the game, make some comments, talk stuff, usually sports or work. Or their kids, which is good. Women do it more than men do. Men don't get there, but women go deeper into the belly of the beast. But I didn't want to participate because maybe I'd feel too tempted to play and I'm not quite healed yet and the pain is still there. I have my aches and pains, and I'll tell you what, the pain of not playing is far worse than any pain that I've learned to endure. So I sat out tonight, and hopefully I can get back next game, which I think is Thursday. And hopefully enough guys will come so we'll get a good run. Because I need it. That's my play. That's the piece of me that I've retained for myself that no one can violate. No one can get in my space. No one can deny me the opportunity to do what I love to do, and that's to play sports and hang around the guys and be part of that whole community of people who have like-kind interests. That's what you have to find, because that will help you fight the number one enemy of the people, which is boredom. Boredom is the enemy of the people. And by the way, if there's any publishers out there who are looking for three good books to publish and market and sell, and I'll do the personal appearances and sign anything you want to do in bookstores and stuff, I have the three books. And it's the basis of this radio program, my life as well. Some of it's historical, some of it's current, but it's all appropriate and proper for anyone out there. First is Power Up Your Power, which is about empowerment. The second is boredom, things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. That's my second one. And the third one is G-Verb, get up, get out, get going. It's about kids and play and the need for kids to be out there and playing. So if there's any publishers out there who can either call into the station here at 888-627-6008. Everybody needs a boost now and then, and it's not who you know, it's who knows you, and maybe somebody can help me. Also, if anybody wants to send me an email about anything, topics we talked about, their opinions, just a voice, have their voice heard, and maybe I'll respond to it if you so desire, you can email me at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. And if you're so brave and bold as to do something for people who make it possible for me to do this and you to do what you're doing and have our country and our freedom, I have a website which is www.connectwithveterans.com. It's a very simple website. It's where veterans can go and fill out the information form, register. It's a $25 registration fee, $10 annual renewal. The money helps pay for the website, and all the other money we'll ever accumulate will go to deserving veterans and or their families if needed, just to give a boost. I need a boost so I can give a boost to other people, because you can't keep it unless you give it away. There's nothing like giving it away to people who need it, deservingly need it. So support the website. If you know people, they can go to it, sign up. If you're out there, you want to find your old buddies, that's what it's for. It's a locator thing, and it's simple. It's streamlined. You don't, and there's no pop-ups or commercials or anything on there. You know, I did it all myself, and to get some people signed up would be a great thing, so it can expand exponentially. Because I learned that in math class, I think, in 10th grade. So anyway, support the cause, help out veterans, because without them, we'd have some problems. You know, if you like your freedom, thank a veteran. And don't go, that's another cliche that's out there, another curse word I could add. Thanks for your service. You know, that's like, thank you very much, have a nice day. And the news media love the onions. And here's Sergeant Smith coming back from a tour overseas, and he's going into his kids', you know, third grade class, and she's surprised, and hugs and hugs and hugs, and the people are crying, people are watching. It's wonderful. But you know what? How about a little respect? It's more for the show than anything else. How about some privacy? How about some attention given to the people who deserve it, the people who might be suffering right now or struggling right now? Because a lot of these folks coming home have all kinds of issues that the media can't capture in a 30-second clip about this guy hugging his wife, girlfriend, or this woman coming back and getting together with their families as well. So let's support veterans, support the website, and let's move on with tonight's show. Topic is anger. And the question is, why are you so angry? And there's all kinds of anger. I don't want to go into them. You know them. But why are you so angry? Why is your life so miserable that you're angry all the time? Right? Are you dissatisfied with your position, your station, whatever it is? Are you jealous or envious? Are you just one of these people who's had such a miserable existence that you've never had a life to live? You've never been included in anything? You've never been part of a whole, a group or something? That shares a common ground of, you know, painting or sculpting or writing poetry or singing in a chorus or biking or traveling or whatever. You're not part of that, so you're angry that you don't fit in somewhere? Well, don't take it out on us. Do something about your anger. Leaders, world leaders of countries, I think, are the angriest people in the world. They're angry at something, but they have the power the position and the thought of mind where they can take life. They can decide who can live and who doesn't. What's that, megalomania or something? And it's going on today. And it's not me. I'm not doing it. I'm reacting to somebody else. No. Leaders in the world have to lead by example. They lead not through fear and intimidation, ridicule, and negative behaviors. They lead by example. They put trust in the environment. But they don't. Right? They don't. I have a theory. It has to do with physical prowess, I guess. I have a theory that there are people in those positions are so envious of, jealous of other people, because those in the leadership positions who are doing all these things, destroying lives, ruining families, killing people, mass graves all over the world, destroying life, what the heck is going on? I think they suffer from an affliction that they can't do anything about, even with ED medicine that is paid for by insurance, right? And until recently, I think birth control was not paid for by insurance for women. But men who are seeking 4 hours of pleasure somehow, and I don't know how they do that, they get it paid for by insurance, I think, because men write the rules make the policy. But I think a lot of these people, mostly male, suffer from being Microsoft, micro and soft, right? You can't find it, and when you do, it's just laying there, not doing anything. So they can't pleasure themselves or anyone else physically, so they have to go out and be a bully. And that's the bully mentality. The bully mentality seems to be all over the place. Why are you so angry? Anger turned inward, you're going to be depressed. So you're going to look for a cure for that. And it's not taking it out on someone else. It's you feeling weak about yourself. You're not empowered. You're enabled. No one taught you anything. You didn't learn anything about how to be responsible for yourself. So you take it out on those usually smaller and weaker than yourself, and then you play the blame game, because that's the way you go, and that's the way you've gotten through life. And in a permissive society where there's little or no consequences for many of the actions and behaviors out there, no accountability, you walk away and you do it again. I mentioned last week that police districts in certain towns were reduced in numbers, the workforce. They laid off cops. 6 months later, they hired somebody to do a study figuring out why has the crime rate gone up. And whoa, the light bulb went on. The crime rate went up because we don't have the cops out there anymore. The police aren't there to police. They're not there to do their job. Right? So now, I've been reading some things that they want to close mental institutions. Right? And where are these people going to go who need supervision, care, maybe 24 hours a day? In an independent living type situation or a group home situation, they're going to shut them down. They're going to hit the streets, and they're not going to be on their meds, and they're not going to go to groups, neither of which really works too well. As you can ask veterans with PTSD, the veterans would rather be with their buddies than take meds or sit in a group, because the meds make you crazy. You forget to take them or you don't take them, and your groups are weak and inconsistent. But by registering with www.connectwithveterans.com, these guys, these folks can find each other and be with each other. And there's all kinds of technological way, right? Email, internet connections, social media, and Skype. They can actually see the face that they're with. So now they're going to close hospitals and facilities that help people who have issues. And where are they going to put them? Well, they can put them where? In jail. Because that's where maybe some of them are going to end up, maybe many of them. But there's no room in the jail. Oh, well, let's just release the people who are there on what will in the future be called petty marijuana charges. We'll open up space because we have to keep the prison beds filled because it's a business. Just as the judge who got caught putting people away into a corporation that owns jails. And he was feeding them. He was their pipeline. And I'm sure they compensated him nicely. Unfortunately, he got caught out there, right? And there's a lot of cheating going on. Every day you read more and more about cheating, but we'll get to that in a minute. Why are you so angry? And what are you doing about it, right? What is the root cause? Let's play head jockey and go back. Well, you didn't have a birthday party when you were 3. You didn't get invited to someplace. You didn't make the team. The teacher didn't. All these are excuses. And as we said before, if you've been a regular listener here, excuses explain failure. But reasons define success. Just think about the times you failed. And when you were younger, maybe you made excuses. Oh, the coach doesn't like me. It was too cold. The referees cheated. The other team was bigger. Whatever it was. Why did you win? Well, we were prepared. We practiced. We followed the plan. And we got a little lucky. Right? Sometimes we didn't win. The other team lost. But we end up making excuses for life. Just like these kids at this football player's house. Where do you hear the excuses that are going to come out of there? It's all about failure, folks. There's no reasons why those kids did that. And there's no reason that they shouldn't have consequences for it. But an enabling society, a permissive society, an irresponsible society, an unaccountable society, will have most of them walk away. Maybe a few, the ones that get unlucky, who are unlucky, will get caught out there and maybe get community service, write a letter of apology, and go about their way. What happens to all these cheaters? Where do they go? Some of them in the corporate world are in jail where they belong because they stole money from people, right? And they were entrusted with a fiduciary responsibility and a personal responsibility to their staff and employees, and they wasted it for their own self-indulgence and greed, right? Greed is good, but it's not that good, right? Forget what you hear about in the media. It can be good. I'm greedy. I want to do well. That's okay. I'm greedy. I want to take everything from everybody else, and I don't care how I get it and who I have to hurt, walk on, step on, and eliminate to do that, right? So it's not good that way. So again, why are you angry? Look inside yourself if you can get there. If you will let yourself in there, you probably can't. If you're angry, angry folks can't look in the mirror when they're brushing their teeth, combing their hair, and look into their eyes. They can't do it because they don't like who they see. They're living a lie. Right? And no one, when you live a lie, you're fake to everybody, including the most important person in your life, which is yourself. Right? You have nothing going on, you, and your life is miserable. Therefore, I will make everybody in my life miserable as well. That's the bully mentality. The bully feels lower than whale dung in the ocean, and they're going to make you do whatever they can to make you feel lower than that because they don't want to be at the bottom of the list. They don't want their name called last. They want a little recognition. We all do. The 15 minutes of fame and all that crap. So look what's out there. People. That's why stuff is news. That's why getting stuck in the elevator tonight, the kid asks, are we going to be on the news? We don't need to know that. No one's not. Most of the stuff that's on the news is not news at all. It's just filler. Stuffing for a turkey. Right? It's not real. It's like a microwave turkey. No offense to the people who build and manufacture and use microwaves, because we have one. But I'd never cook Thanksgiving dinner in a microwave. It doesn't have the juice, the flavor, the smell, the entire aura of Thanksgiving. Quick, dumb, boom, go. Right? When it cooks for 6, 7, 8 hours. And by the way, why does Butterball have to have that 800 or whatever toll-free number they have to tell people how to cook a turkey? Are we that stupid? Are we that ignorant? Have we never done anything? Do we need an expert to tell us how to cook a turkey? I'm sure there's 100 food shows on the TV telling you how to do it. You know, butter it up, salt it up, fat it up. Just put the thing in there, put some spices that you like, that give you pleasure and the people in your family, and cook the thing. Whatever it is. There's a simple thing. Was it 20 minutes a pound, 18 minutes a pound? You got a 10-pound turkey, 180 minutes, 3 hours, it's done. Put a temperature thing in there. Read the instructions. I'd have my wife do that, folks, because I'm not good at reading instructions, as you know. But somebody can certainly. We don't need thousands of phone calls going into a call center to learn how to cook a turkey. What the heck have we come to? Lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. Do it on your own. You can experiment every year. I'll tell you what. Buy a small chicken and experiment with it during the year. You'll learn. You'll become empowered. You don't have to rely on everything out there. Too much information out there. Not enough actual doing. Those who can do, those who can't talk. Used to be those who can't teach. Well, maybe that's the way it is in some places, but maybe not so much anymore. Because if you're not giving the teacher something to work with, what do you expect the teacher to do? Wave a magic wand like Harry Potter and make your kid smart? Make your kid behave well? Make your kid respectful? What is going on, right? How have you empowered your kid to learn so your kid doesn't have to grow up and call the number to learn how to cook a turkey. Do they teach you how to turn the oven on too? I don't know how people exist these days. How do people get dressed? They have experts, right? Everyone's an expert, right? Wear this, do that, go here. Not that good. Become empowered. Go out and play. Keep it simple. You'll do fine. If you want to contact me, Hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. If you want to go to the website, it's bbsradio.com. You can listen to previous shows that I've had in the past several weeks. Go to the archive section of the website, click it on, and listen to any one of the shows that you choose. Basically, you're going to hear similar stuff, different topics each week, hopefully some repetitive, and some we need to talk about all the time. You know, if you eat, sleep, play, and work every day, maybe you should think about improving your life every day and making better for yourself. Because if you have a good life for yourself, those in your world and in your life are going to have a good life too, because you're going to make sure that they do those things too, right? Remember, I told you last week, the difference between someone in recovery from whatever they need to recover from and those in prevention is very little, if at all. They do the same things, and they got there by different roads that they travel. One took the road not taken, and one took the main road, and maybe it wasn't right. It didn't work out. But you can cure all that. You can fix all that by doing simple things in life. And one of them is just to empower yourself to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And you'll feel good once you accomplish something. Start with the little things. Start with the little things, and they'll grow into big things. If you want dollars, bend down and pick up that penny you see in the parking lot. You'll get dollars. It works. It's not magic. It's just doing something instead of complaining, whining, moaning, and blaming somebody for something that everybody could have done that nobody did. That's the blame game. Get out of that rut. Shut off the boxes in your house. Turn off the electricity. Get the heck out of the house. Get up, get out, get going. Go play. Feel good about yourself. And remember, to power up your power, because the power is in you. This is Marty Ford. Hopefully, if all is well, I'll be back next Tuesday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time zone. Power up your power, because the power is in you.